Wow. And this man right here has been in Michigan, been in an airport. Didn't get in until like after midnight this morning. Yeah, and there he is playing, leading, going on with us right there. I'm telling you, we are so blessed by the dedication and commitment of this group. Thank you so much. So, all right, so I alluded to reputation there in the pastoral prayer, like with manner care, so don't want us to get sued or something, you know, but it's probably not the best place to have to go to, but sometimes you don't have a choice, and that's where you end up, and there's a reputation that goes with that. Some places have a reputation. The Grand Canyon has a reputation. Old Faithful has a reputation. Redwood Forest has a reputation. Isn't that kind of neat, the way the name of the place builds into their reputation? The name kind of gives it away. If it's a Grand Canyon, you're not looking at the little crack on 10th Avenue, okay? It's something bigger than that. Our story takes place in Bethany. Now, in Hebrew, here you go. I know you love these little lessons. You're going to get Hebrew and Greek today. In Hebrew, Beth means house of. Isn't that cool? So, Bethel, house of God. Bethsaida, house of fish. Bethlehem, you guys heard of Bethlehem, right? Bethlehem, house of bread. Bethany, house of the afflicted. Now you might remember in Mark's gospel, Simon the leper lives in Bethany, the house of afflicted. It's possible, we don't know, it's possible that Bethany was known because of the way they cared for the sick and the dying. We do know that earlier in the gospel of John, Jesus is called to Bethany because one of his dear friends is sick to the point of dying. In fact, by the time Jesus gets there, has died. Remember the story of Lazarus? We're going to hear the sequel to that today. Bethany, the house of the afflicted. So maybe Bethany has that reputation. It's not just places that have reputations. People have reputations. You have a reputation. I had a reputation when I was growing up, and I use that term loosely. I had a reputation. I had the moves like Jack. No, that's not true. I had a reputation as a tremendous athlete. I had a reputation as an extremely talented musician. I had a reputation for intelligence. No. In high school, I had a reputation for being short. For being small. We're talking teeny tiny world record small. No one knew my name. Everybody knew my height. The way it went. When I almost did not get a driver's license. Not because I couldn't pass a test, but because to drive, I had to look between the top of the dashboard and the bottom of the steering wheel. This is how I looked. And then when that person was going through, they'd go, "How tall are you? 4 feet?" I go, 4 feet, 2.25 inches. When you're that short, you have to squeeze every little thing you can get out. They wrote on my driver's license. It was written on the driver's license. I had to sit on a cushion. If I ever got pulled over and I wasn't sitting on a cushion, I would get a ticket for that too. It was embarrassing. It was embarrassing. Why does that have to be my reputation? But that's what I was known for. I was known for being short. What are you known for? What are you known for? Some of you have great reputations. We have crafters out here. We have cookers and bakers out here. We have sewers out here. We have people who can do all kinds. We have people who can play music. We got people who can sing. We got prayer warriors. Did you know we have a group of dedicated people, and every morning they get up and they pray. I mean, not just little bullet microwave prayers. I'm talking about sitting down, going through 4 pages of names. It takes 30 to 45 minutes, and that's just if you're saying a quick prayer. And that's their reputation. That's what they do. You all have a reputation. You are all known for some things that are just absolutely blessings and wonderful. And that's a good thing to be able to for people to be able to say, oh yeah. If Bill Hambright says he's going to be there, Bill Hambright is going to be there because he's got that kind of a reputation. You can count on people. When they say something, you know that they're going to do something. They're going to follow up with it. You can count on them. Why? Because they have a history. They have a history. In our story, in our passage today, we hear about some people. And they all have reputations. Jesus is at the house in Bethany, probably the home of Martha and Mary, brother Lazarus. And in that passage, everybody has a reputation. Jesus has a reputation. Jesus is the Son of God. He's the living Lord. He's the Savior of the world. We know about Jesus' reputation. John makes sure that he tells us about Judas' reputation. Did you hear that? For he was a thief. He wants to make sure we all know about Judas. Judas has a reputation for what? For saying one thing, oh, I care about the poor. No, he doesn't. That's John whispering. No, he doesn't. He doesn't mean it. Now, I know we don't want to identify with Judas, but the truth is we can, can't we? Amen. Haven't we all ever said something and done the opposite or not done what we said we were going to do? Isn't there times in our life then we've been less than honest and more hypocritical than we would want to admit? Lazarus in the story, he had a reputation. You know what his reputation was? Dead. That was his reputation. He was known for being dead. But now what? Now he's alive. You see, your reputation can change. Your reputation can change. What you once were is not what you have to be. Lazarus had been dead. Now he's alive. You can read this in the Bible all the time. Look at Peter. What was Peter's reputation? All mouth. You ever see anybody brag more about themselves than Peter? Peter's always mouthing off. All mouth, all talk. You know some people like that, don't you? They just talk. Oh, I can walk on the water, Lord. I can do that. Boom. Sinking like a rock. That's why they called him the rock. I'll never deny you. Everybody else, well, you can count on me. Within what? 3 hours? Denied him 3 times. Amen. But God didn't let Peter's reputation stay that way. And if you read the end of John, 3 times Jesus asks Peter, do you love me? 3 times. He says, then care for my sheep, care for my lambs. Peter ended up becoming a leader of the church. Now, he still struggled. Remember, he had a problem with Gentiles and Jews. And God said, don't tell me anything I made is unclean. Everything's good, Peter. Okay, Lord. It took him a few times before he really got into, you know. But even when your reputation's changed, you don't get changed to perfect. You get changed to learning. To growing, to becoming. Paul, what about Paul? What was Paul known for? Persecutor of the church. Remember how that worked out? And there's Paul, and he's doing all these terrible, horrible things. And God zaps him. Zap's not actually a biblical word, but that's pretty much what he did. And he zaps him, and he gets Paul's attention, knocks him blind. Now Paul can't see, and God tells him, okay, you're going to go here? And one of them, God calls Ananias. Hey, Paul's there, he's praying, I want you to go lay hands on him and heal him. And what does Ananias say? God, you may have been on the other side of the world. No, he's got a reputation, God. He's killing people like us. He is killing Christians. He's persecuting the church. And God says, don't worry about it. That's when you worry. Anytime an angel says, don't be afraid, be afraid. Anytime God says, you got this, you go, oh, I don't have this. It helps us to depend on God a little bit more. Paul's reputation changed. You read the Bible time and time and time again. People's reputation changed. It just changes. It can change. In our story, we have Martha. Martha, and what's Martha doing? Every time it seems like when you read the Bible, Martha is serving. Serving, 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 serving. That's Martha. She is always, always serving, cooking, cleaning, taking charge. She's the one that took charge when her brother was sick. She's the one that sent the word to Jesus. Jesus, the one whom you love, he's really sick. We need you to come. She's the one that sent that message. Everybody else is crying and lamenting. She's like, we got to get Jesus here. She's the one that took charge of that. She's the one that made that happen. She's the one that comes out when Jesus shows up and says, unfortunately, you're too late. He's dead. She's the one who says, I believe in the resurrection. She's the one that tells Jesus, you don't want to go into that tomb. It is going to stink. She was the one who knew how to take charge. She was the one everybody could count on. She was the one who was always serving. In fact, in our passage in verse 2, we are told that Martha diakonia, that's the Greek. Remember I promised that? Diakonia. That's where we get our word for deacon. Martha deaconed Jesus. Deaconed the group, the family, the friends, all who were gathered at the table. Some of you know what that's like, don't you? Don't you serve at the table as deacons here in the church? But also in your homes, you are deacons, you are servants, you are serving. Mary has a reputation. In fact, Mary's reputation is so strong that when John's writing the gospel, he tells us about her reputation before she's even done anything. She hasn't done it yet, but in chapter 11, he says she's the one that anointed Jesus. She's the one that wiped his feet with her hair. See, that you do something like that just one time, it's going to stick forever. And that was going around everywhere. Everybody knew. When you said, and that's why John says it this way. Back in chapter 11, when he says it that way, because if you've ever read the Bible, how many Marys are there? A lot. A lot. There's a whole lot of Marys. There's Mary, the mother of Jesus. There's Mary Magdalene, who everybody wants to say washes Jesus' feet. No! Mary Magdalene never, ever does. I don't care what movie you saw. That's not in the Bible. It's not Mary Magdalene. You have all these Marys in the Bible. So when John says Mary, he wants to make sure we know which Mary. And he says, this is the Mary that anointed Jesus. This is the Mary who touched his feet with her hair. That's the Mary. Now everybody goes, oh, that Mary. See, now you hear the story differently because you know her reputation. That's the Mary that's being talked about, both in chapter 11 and now in our passage. She has a reputation for loving, for listening, for overwhelming generosity. We are told she takes a pound of very costly perfume. Help you get a handle on that. Not your savings account. Your whole year's worth of salary. Before taxes. Before the pension fund, before anything else, that amount of money. Okay? She didn't have a bank. She had a jar. That's what she had in her jar. And she poured it out. You're going to empty a year's worth of salary and give it to Jesus? Because I'll take up the offering right now. That's what she does. We have no idea that kind of an extravagance to be able to just pour yourself out like that. She's pouring her whole life savings out to the Lord. But it goes on. It goes on. Not only is she pouring her whole life savings, she's pouring out her whole life, her whole self. She's being completely open. There's no secrets. You see, the way that story is being told, she lets down her hair. Now, in that culture, in that time, that was never, ever, ever done. Ever. Are you catching the fact? It is never done. Honorable women did not do such a thing. But Mary lays aside her honor in order to honor Jesus. What I am isn't important. What you are is. It's not about her, and it's not about her honor. This is that Mary. This is that Mary. And she touches Jesus. She touches Jesus. Again, a single woman touching a single man. That was never ever done. Not even among friends, that never happened. I understand it's 2,000 years, but that was never ever done. But she was not afraid of intimacy with the Lord. Jesus had raised her brother from the dead. Do you know how her heart was full of gratitude? Jesus had touched her heart with his teachings. Jesus had, there were no barriers between them. She was not afraid to be intimate with her Lord. And she touched his feet and rubbed his feet. And then she dried them with her hair. It's not because they didn't have towels. Towels had been invented back then. In the next chapter, we hear about Jesus with a towel. No. It's because she didn't want anything between her and Jesus. No barriers. No social construct, nothing. Total, complete openness, honesty, and intimacy. Touching souls, sharing hearts, an overwhelming sense of gratitude and generosity. Mary's not just pouring out perfume. She's pouring out her complete self. And the whole room is filled with that fragrance. What did you think about that? That kind of love has a ripple effect. It reached beyond to just Jesus. It transformed a whole room. And no one is saying anything. She's breaking every taboo out there, and no one says a word. No one says a word. Why'd you let your hair out? No. Why are you touching? No. Why are you wiping it? No. You know what they're touched by? The fragrance of love and gratitude. They're overwhelmed by it. Or they're transformed by it. To pour out yourself before someone like that. Pour yourself out for Jesus. And some of you know what that's like. You give away talents. The church could never pay our musicians what they're worth. Nobody could. You give away your talents, you give away your skills, you give away your help, you give away your assistance, you give your time, you give your money. Did anybody here ever add up all their hours? All the times they've spent in prayer, all the time they do calls and cards and things? No, because you're doing it out of love. You're doing it out of love. And your acts of love bring an aroma, not just to the Lord, but to all other people. It's like aromatherapy. Everyone is affected. Everyone in the room breathes easier because of what you do. They breathe a sigh of relief. People breathe easier because of you. Your love for the Lord makes a difference. It's a ripple. It touches other people. Now, whether our lives and reputations were changed like Lazarus and Peter and Paul and others that we can talk about, or whether our lives have been poured out like Mary's in love and devotion to the Lord in a way that touches him and overwhelms and touches others. The point of the fact is this: our reputation is a witness for what we truly believe. Do we believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God? And have we accepted him as our personal Lord and Savior? Amen.